Brett Hollander back here on Sportsline on WBAL News Radio 1090. And let's bring in one of our old friends, the editor-in-chief of Baseball America, who, by the way, has a sister who lives in Baltimore who is in mourning with the rest of us. John Manuel's here. John, how's your sister doing?
She's okay, you know, but what's happened the last 3 years has been awesome because her husband's from the Boston area, and, you know, they've always gone a lot of Orioles games. They were raising their kids Red Sox fans. I'm just so glad the last 3 years that the Orioles are being relevant again. They've become big O's fans, so I'm just very excited about that. And, you know, because that's the way it should be. They're Baltimoreans, so pretty excited for that. They used to it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, you look back on this series, a four-game sweep to the Kansas City Royals. We talked about this last week. And it's such a bizarre situation because here are all these highly drafted players and prospects, and it's hard to believe this now, but most of them have been disappointments considering expectations until about 3 weeks ago. And they had their moments last year, and they had their moments this year getting hot, but I'm saying the total package of Hosmer, Moustakas, and Butler the last few years, and they've all put it together here.
I think that's fair. I mean, like, here's the first-round pick of the Dayton Moore era there, because he got the job right before 2006 draft. He wasn't involved in the 06 draft, but that was Luke Hochhaver. That was the first overall pick. So Hochhaver had a good year. He was basically Wade Davis White last year, but he was
right
this year. 2007, Moustakas had been a disappointment until the last 3 weeks. 2008, Hosmer, ditto. 2009, Aaron Crow, not even a factor here. 2010, Christian Colon, never has really been a factor. But, oh, by the way, he scored the winning run against the A's in the wild card game.
Mm.
I mean, you can go on and on for these guys, and they have had disappointments, but they have had, and I think the Orioles fans can relate. You know, how many years did Brett was I on the show talking about, you know, be patient with Mattis and Arrieta and Tillman and all these guys, Zach Britton. You know, two of those guys, and one of those guys has kind of washed out Mattis. He's had his moments, but he's certainly never going to be what the Orioles thought. Jake Arrieta certainly has become, finally, it looks like, on the verge of being a frontline starter, but it's elsewhere. It didn't happen in Baltimore.
Mm.
Zach Britton had a great year as a closer, but, I mean, if anyone's wearing goat horns, it's probably Zach Britton, right, in Baltimore? I mean, the first two games. So, yeah, so if anybody is, I don't think anyone should, but if anybody is, it's Zach Britton. So one of those four guys worked out to be the front of the rotation guy for Baltimore that you thought you had. So that's what we've seen in Kansas City. They've had, you know, it's like the Manhattan Change Bank commercial from SNL. They had volume, a high volume of prospects. And you have to, because some of them just don't work out. That's why they're called prospects. And that's why when the Major League Scouting Bureau sends out its list to all the teams, it's called the prospect suspect list. Some of those guys are suspects, and some of them are prospects. And you have to have a high volume of them because you have to have backup plans. That's the thing that the athleticism and speed of the Royals has given them is they've always got a backup plan. And, you know, that's shown with Lorenzo Cain and Alcides Escobar. They've traded well, they have developed, and they do have athleticism that plays defensively, you know, 27 outs a game, and it played 162 games a year this year. And it was really the separator, in my mind, of them even making the playoffs.
Right. And a lot of people don't think, who don't follow baseball regularly, that athleticism plays, but it does. It does in a big way. All these guys are athletes, of course, but I mean high-end athleticism, speed, ability to go get the ball, and it comes down to pitching and defense, even in a series like this, and it manifested itself in so many ways. I don't know if you saw the ESPN stats and info number that they had. The Orioles out hard hit balled the Kansas City Royals 22-20, but the Orioles' average on hard hit balls was 350 points below the average that you would have over the course of a six-month campaign when you hit the ball hard. It was about 400. That's a tribute to bad luck and great defense.
Right, and those things, you know, all that statistical analysis that has come into the game in the last, you know, 20 years, so much of it is based on larger sample sizes. But in smaller sample sizes, you know, things can go against the average.
Sure.
And another part of that is the game. Definitely, whether it's PEDs or whether it's the increase in pitcher velocity or all of the above, you know, other factors as well, the game is a less offensive game. We know this, that there's less offense. So in the, you know, height of the Mitchell Report era, that was in some ways slow pitch softball. I mean, in some of the teams, so you didn't have, there wasn't as much of a premium on athletic ability, especially in the regular season. But you certainly saw, you know, those Yankees teams, that dynasty, that was a pretty athletic team. Young Derek Jeter, Bernie Williams in center field, Brochus with a good defensive third base. And those prime Yankees teams that won the titles, those are pretty well-rounded teams. They weren't just bashing teams. I think of teams like the Marlins in 2003 or the Angels in 2002. So you did have World Series champions who were more athletic teams and less these slow pitch softball like Oakland A's, walks and 3-run homers and that it team. So I think the game has come back to the style that Kansas City thrives on, which emphasizes speed and defense and these kind of close games. And then they have that bullpen. And I really, as good as their bullpen is, I still thought Baltimore maybe had a little edge in the bullpen.
I think Baltimore's a deeper bullpen,
yeah.
But ain't nobody better than those three guys. Although Britton, O'Day, and Miller probably as close as it gets. You're not going to be, and it wasn't like Herrera, Davis, and Holland were picking on the Orioles. This is what they've done for a couple of years, really this year and throughout the postseason. By the way, John, we can go back through the numbers on this and just the reality of it. One inning relief pitchers tend to come and go pretty quickly in Major League Baseball. And the Orioles are looking closely at Andrew Miller right now, whether he's a setup man or a closer. There's going to be a team out there that says, he's my guy to put me over the top. That's fine. I think that's a risky investment if you go back through money allocated to big-time back-end guys, even closers who are established. But when you look at Davis, Herrera, and Holland, I'm thinking to myself, how will they ever burn out? But inevitably, they will. And the history says that.
Absolutely, it says that. And that's the amazing thing about bullpens in today's game. You know, I understand why the Royals are doing what they're doing, because those guys are, I guess, the tweet, the hashtag their fans like to use is one cyborg after another. And that's kind of how those guys pitch. It's just, here comes 100. And it's three straight guys with 100 miles an hour, it feels like. And Herrera is the hardest thrower, and he's the most hittable of them. That's the amazing part. Wade Davis seems to me like the guy who has the most staying power.
I agree.
I saw him in the minor leagues with the Rays. We were always banking on the Rays pitching development, and he was always linked with Jake McGee, who's now the Rays closer. They came up together in the minor league. So just think about that twin power action in the minor leagues, and both those guys didn't quite know where it all was going, and they were throwing as hard as they were throwing as starters. They both threw that hard. So pretty amazing development by the Rays. But Davis has that breaking ball, and I always felt like he should be a good starting pitcher. He just never developed a feel for the changeup, because he was certainly tried as a starter, and he had a couple seasons as a starter, both in Tampa and I believe one year in Kansas City, before they turned him back into a reliever. And he has just been electric as a reliever for a couple years now, and it's remarkable to see, one year in Tampa, one year in Kansas City, and he's the guy who's had the most staying power. Greg Holland is kind of from the classic reliever phylum of, but when nobody else pitches like that, there's a reason why, because it just seems like it's very hard to sustain. Yeah, he's a guy who's very easy to root for. Again, he was a 10th-round pick. We never rank him in our top 30 prospects. I think his command in the minor leagues was really iffy. He's a 5'10 right-handed pitcher. So he's definitely bucked a lot of odds to be a big league closer. Now he's a pennant-winning closer. And it is an amazing bullpen, and they know, I think, in Kansas City, they have to keep finding other guys because bullpens come and go very quickly.
John Manuel from Baseball America with us here. And you think about this, Hoshaver, Davis, Andrew Miller, Zach Britton, these are all highly touted of, failed starters. That is the best pathway. I don't know if Dylan Bundy's that guy, and I'm not trying to imply that, but the great relief pitchers, we don't know who they are yet in our minor league systems. We really don't.
We really don't, and I've written that story several times over my tenure at BA where whether your closers usually are failed starters. Mariano Rivera never relieved in the minor league. He was always a starter. Brad Lidge, same way. You're talking about guys who won World Series as closers. And that has been constantly the story, or conversion guys. Troy Percival was a conversion guy, was a minor league catcher. Joe Nathan, drafted as a shortstop, quit the game, then came back as a pitcher with the Giants. So there are usually odd paths to the big league closer. And that's another way that Greg Holland kind of bucks these trends. And Santiago Casilla, the Giants, both Casilla and Holland were actually minor league closers. So they're really exceptions to the rule. I agree with you. It's more the failed starter or the conversion guy, like a Jason Mott, Trevor Rosenthal, kind of a failed starter. Some of their closers, Kenley Jansen in Los Angeles, converted guy, was catcher for the Dutch national team in the 2009 World Baseball Classic. He caught a no-hitter, and now he's, you know, could probably finish one in the big league. So more and more, it's the conversion and the failed starters. But you do have these two exceptions now in the World Series for the Giants and the Royals, which I think is kind of interesting.
John Manuel, the editor-in-chief of Baseball America. John, we appreciate it always, and we'll talk sometime coming up and take a deep look at the Orioles minor league system heading into this offseason, because we'll hear a lot about Daryl Alvarez, Dylan Bundy, and Christian Walker moving forward here, and those guys will have a lot of impact on the upcoming offseason for Baltimore and Dan Duquette and company.
Absolutely, Brett. The Orioles are our first top 10 this year, October 27th, so we'll check back soon.
Ooh, I can't wait for that. Well, that's something to look forward to. And we'll do that coming up. John Manuel, the editor-in-chief of Baseball America. We'll come back with more next year on WBAL News Radio 1090.